Hello, everybody. Welcome back to module number four, where today we will be talking about evaluating the internal environment. I hope you're enjoying the class so far. And now as we transition into this next section, we will be discussing all kinds of really great things regarding strategy. We'll be talking about cost analysis and innovation, and we'll talk about ethics, and we'll eventually go into what strategic leadership is, and that will be the final module. But for now, we're going to continue our evaluation. So as you remember, in last module, we talked about evaluating the external environment, and now we're going to be talking about evaluating the internal environment. And evaluating the internal environment is a little bit different. There's different tools that you can use to evaluate the internal environment, and we will be talking about those. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is when you're evaluating the internal environment, you need to look at everything that you're doing and ways to gain efficiencies. And remember, it's all about getting that competitive advantage. So at the end of the day, whatever you can do to maintain and achieve competitive advantage is the goal. So the book talks about Southwest Airlines, and one of the things that it mentions is they are very efficient, and they're more efficient than their competitors, and that allows them to pass those cost savings on to their customers, which brings them, drives more business and things like that. So a couple of things that the book talks about, one of the things that the book talks about is how they all use the same fleet. They all use the same airplanes. And by doing so, that gives them an advantage because they only have to train mechanics in one way, in one type of aircraft. So their training is simplified, parts are simplified, all those things are simplified, which makes them run very, very, very efficiently. So that's certainly something that would be revealed in internal analysis. Something else that they do, which I think is really cool, is they have a commitment. So have you ever heard, if you've ever flown on a plane, at least in the United States, one of the things that you'll always hear is, please take your seats as quickly as possible. That way we can have an on-time departure. And they talk about on-time departure, on-time departure, on-time departure. So one of the things that Southwest Airlines is really, really good at, and this is their analysis, and they focus very, very heavily on it, is the turn. And what the turn is a plane comes into the gate, passengers disembark, they clean the plane, they restock the plane, passengers come on the plane, they push out from the gate on time, and they get in the air. I forget the figure, but the gentleman at Southwest who was talking to us about this at dinner, he mentioned that their turn was down to, it was whatever it was, I think maybe 20 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever it was like far, far, far above the industry standard. So some of the things that I asked him is, well, how have you gotten your turn so low compared to everybody else? And he talked a lot about a lot of different things, but he said, we do analysis on our turn, and we incentivize our employees on the turn all the time. So that word analysis stuck out to me, and the fact that they spend so much time on that turn. And what that allows them to is allows them to save fuel costs, it allows them to save employee costs, it allows them to make all these savings because they focus on that turn, getting it from 40-something minutes down to 30 or less. They're incredibly efficient. They're efficient in their boarding process, they're efficient in their maintenance with their fleet. They're just a really, really good company to look at when we're thinking about internal analysis. So I'm really glad the book focused on them. So one of the things that I want to talk about is remember that in a resource-based theory that organizations own strategic resources, and to have a competitive advantage, they have to own resources over their competitors. So that may be something tangible, like a technology that their competitors do not have that allows them to have significant advantage, or that may be something that is less tangible, like intellectual property, the smartest people working that for them, or whatever. So all those are part of resources, and they are part of something that gives a firm competitive advantage. So let me give you an example. So there is an app that allows you to, I'm just going to talk in generic terms. There's an app that allows you to do something, right? It allows you to do a certain kind of booking. And one of the things is that there is somebody who is first to market in this space, and they have come into the space, and they developed the app, but they are continuing to try to drive to gain more items for customers to be able to select from. So they're first to market, but they're not the only people in market. And they have about 50 or 60 resources right now, and they're trying to work their way up to 1,000. Now, what if they were able to find a software or something that would allow them to remove the manual process of putting those resources into the app, and it allowed that thing to be automated? Well, that would give them a significant competitive advantage over others that did not figure out that process. So when we talk about competitive advantage, finding things and being able to do that internal analysis and being able to find efficiencies is critically important. So I just wanted to drive that point home a little bit. Remember, we're going to be talking about this framework of VRDO, but there's things, and actually I'm going to go ahead and share the screen. There are things that are valuable resources. There are things that are rare sources. There are things that are difficult to imitate. And then there's things that are organized to capture value. Now, again, this talks about Southwest Airlines, but this is, it gives you a good example. One of the things I love here is that Southwest culture that reflect all four qualities, valuable, rare, difficult to imitate, and organized to capture value, are ideal because they can create sustained competitive advantages. And remember, that's what it's all about. It's creating that competitive advantage, and it's creating that sustained competitive advantage as well. So resources, subdivided into two categories, and that's tangible resources, and we talked about those, which could be a piece of machinery, it could be it could be cash, it could be things like that. And then there's intangible resources as well, which are a little more difficult to quantify, but exist anyway. So those might be your reputation. Those could be things like your culture. It could be the people that work for you and their knowledge. There is a company, and I talked about them with mission, vision, values. There is a company that hires the best talent, and they pay for that talent. Like, certainly in order to retain top talent, you have to have a lot of things, and pay is certainly a component of that. So they pay their employees very well, but they what they are known for is every single person is unbelievably intelligent, driven, works hard, and that's what the culture demands. So if somebody comes into the company and they don't fit that, then they move on fairly quickly. So that's something to consider as well, is that would be an example of an intangible resource, but one that is very necessary to that company's success. So we talked about it. Cash is a tangible resource. Intangible resources, we talked about the skills of employees. Let's see. One of the things that the book talks about is Coca-Cola and the idea of dynamic capability, which Coca-Cola can build new brands, and they do very, very well in building new brands. Certainly, they were one of the first to get on the bottled water craze, and they did. In fact, I think the water I'm drinking right now, Nestle, I believe that is a Coca-Cola brand. But they were one of the first to get on there. They tend to recognize trends, so that's dynamic capability. Apple certainly would be considered somebody that has some dynamic capability, especially with all the things they're doing. I mean, if you look at Apple, they are a completely diversified company. So they have their products, of course. So they have the Apple Watch, the iPad I have in my bag, the phone, the computer, you know, other things. Apple TV certainly is hardware, but they also have software. And then the other thing they have is they have content, right? So they have Apple Plus. So you could go on there and watch TV shows, and they have some really good TV shows and some really good content on there. In fact, I just watched a video the other day on how the world changed since COVID, and kind of the effect on the environment from COVID, and that was an Apple TV production. It was very well done. They have the Apple credit card, which actually I don't have my wallet right now, but they have the Apple credit card. They have Apple Music, so we can put on our favorite Christian music right now if we wanted to. they have all kinds of different things that are better out there that give them a dynamic capability and a diversified strategy, which we'll be talking about diversification in a couple modules. So BRIO, one of the things that we, let me see if I can make this smaller so we can see it all on one screen, and we can. So I'm going to share my screen real quick. There we go. And one of the things that we need to look at is the resource valuable? If the resource is not valuable, then you're going to be at a competitive disadvantage. So is it rare? And that would lead to competitive parity if the answer is no. If it's yes, is it costly to imitate? If the answer is no, then it's going to give you a temporary competitive advantage. If you think about that app that I was just talking about, one of the things that I could tell you about it is it is not costly to imitate. Anybody can do it. It does take resources, but that's going to give them a temporary competitive advantage, and they need to take advantage of that competitive advantage now, get the resources they need in to get a loyal customer base now before others launch similar and a competitor's app. Certainly there's a couple out there that are on their way, so we'll see what that means. And are they organized to capture value? If they are, then that leads to a sustained competitive advantage. So this is a really good chart. And what I would challenge you to do is to take a few minutes right now, pause the video, and I want you to think of a company and then think about are they valuable? If we were to go through Apple, yes, they're valuable. Their resource that they have is valuable. Is it rare? One could argue that depending on what the product line we're talking about or what the resource we're talking about with them. Is it costly to imitate? Those kind of things. So pick a company and kind of go through this exercise and see if you can figure out why a company may have a sustained competitive advantage or not. So So hopefully you did that, and now you're back watching the rest of the video. So remember that common resources such as cash and vehicles are not strategic resources. You can't have an enduring competitive advantage around those common resources. One of the things that I think about when I'm thinking, when I go back to this chart, I mentioned, I guess you can't see it. When I go back to that chart, I mentioned Apple, but another company to think about is SpaceX. And I'm actually going to bring up their website. So if you look at SpaceX and then you compare it to that chart that we're just looking at, they certainly have valuable resources that are rare, that are costly to imitate, and they're organized to capture value. In fact, they're one of the exclusive providers missions to space for NASA. So there's been some things in the news about that recently. Something else they're doing that certainly will give them a competitive advantage is Starlink. When you think about this, is the resource capability valuable? Internet around the world is valuable. Is it rare? Yes, it is. Is it costly to imitate? Sure, it is. And is it organized to capture value? One could argue that, but the answer would probably be yes. So SpaceX, if you look specifically at Starlink, they will definitely have an advantage here. So we're not going to watch this whole thing because it's over an hour. But just to give you an idea, this talks about lifting off and then putting some other satellites in space so people can see, so people can get internet around the world. So it's quite an amazing thing that they are doing. And just because I think it's cool, before we go, we will just watch just a second or two of this. Let's get to the cool stuff. Here we go. That's cool. So there it is, going off into space. All right. So Starlink. Let me go ahead and close that out before I get distracted, and let us focus back on the mission. So Starlink would be an example. And SpaceX's Starlink would be an example of something that you could use that chart that we have talked a lot about. You can use this chart to determine if the resource gives you a competitive advantage or not. And we can see here that it does. So moving on. Let's move on. I think we talked about that a lot. Something else is the VRIO. They talk about that different parts of the organization in the book, and they use Southwest again. Certainly could apply it to SpaceX or any other company, but they talk about how there's different things for different things. So if you look at this, they do talk about their high on-time arrival, but they talk about that, how that's only temporary, because once people figure out what they're doing, then they can imitate them, and then they could remove that competitive advantage. So just something to keep in mind as we talk about competitive advantage. So remember that resource-based theory suggests that tangible or intangible resources that are valuable, rare, difficult to imitate, and organized to capture value best position somebody for long-term success. So you could look at Starlink and say that SpaceX is best positioned for long-term success based on that. These resources help develop the capabilities that can lead to superior performance over time. And again, SpaceX is a good example. Southwest, which the book talks about a lot, is a good example as well. Intellectual property. So I don't want to spend a lot of time on intellectual property. Just think about intellectual property, though, as creations of the mind. It's inventions. It could be artistic products. It could be symbols. There are different types of it. Apple, their logo is intellectual property. But let me give you some examples. Forgive me, when I deleted SpaceX, I deleted this website that I had prepared. Before I show you this, I just want to talk about, copyright, trademarks, patents, and then trade secrets are all considered intellectual property. So, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I cannot seem to bring up the intellectual property I was looking for. Here we go. That is not it either. So we will move past that. Because I cannot find what I was looking for. But one of the things that I just want to talk about with intellectual property is just remember, it can be a variety of things. It could be a logo. It can be a music, your favorite song. It could be trade process that you have that you've copyrighted or things like that. Intellectual property can be a textbook. In this class, we're able to find a free textbook, but certainly that is somebody's intellectual work as well. And if you were to use that resource without permission, then you would be violating intellectual property law, and you could potentially be in trouble. That is not the case here. So patents, again, are one example. The book uses slinkies, but certainly there's patents everywhere. If anyone has never seen it, you can actually get a patent through the United States Patent and Trademark Office, which I will bring up here. And, one of the things that always strikes me about when I go to this website is they always talk about driving innovation, and they always mention innovation as something that's very important. So on this website, they talk about the innovation and inventions that 3M has done. For those of you that are not familiar with 3M as a company, I would encourage you to look at them. I'm sure you will find they use their products all the time. I know I do. In fact, I have some pictures hanging using their products. So you can go in here. It will walk you through the process of doing a patent, of doing a trademark, and you can see how it's explained. So, determine the type of intellectual property. That's what we're talking about now that you need. Determine if what you have is patentable, and then what kind of patent do you need. You figure that out, and then you go ahead and apply. If you look here, one of the things I want to show you is it's actually not that expensive to get a patent. Just something for you to look at as we talk about patents and as we go beyond the material. I want you to just spend some time looking at how to receive your approval, maintain your patent, some of the steps, and then how that's different from trademarks, and then some of the intellectual property policies that are out there. This is a matter of international law, so internationally there are protections for patents and trademarks and those kind of things and copyrights. There are certainly countries that violate those, but for the most part, there are protections in place for intellectual property. So we will move past that. And now let us talk about the value chain. So donuts is used as an example in the book. And I think this is a good example for talking about value chain. So we're going to actually just spend some time going through this. Remember that there is part of the value chain, it's everything. So there's inbound logistics. So you're getting these ingredients from local, I just realized you can't see my picture. There we go. You're getting these ingredients from a local manufacturer. In this case, it's a local farmer that makes the donut plant in New York City unique. And then, you know, there's a secret donut recipe. I always found it funny that the president of the United States had donuts shipped shipped to the White House regularly. Voodoo Donuts in Portland, Oregon, they have outbound logistics and they use a van. And actually, Voodoo is not just in Portland anymore. It's actually all over the place. Marketing and sales, you can see here, they have a attention-grabbing building. If you want to see what that looks like, let's bring that up. Randy's Donuts in Inglewood. There it is. So certainly they have an attention-grabbing graphic and building that that brings people. I mean, there's no ambiguity there, right? You're definitely going to get a donut from that place. So anyway, going back to this, there's also things that are related to service. Voodoo Donuts has Dirty Snowball. Remember that when you're thinking about donuts, that infrastructure is important. Certainly, Tim Hortons is a good example of that, that the book talks about. And then, you know, you got to make sure that the people that enter a donut shop are friendly, and that's an important characteristic as well. So I'll tell you that I made a call yesterday to somebody, to a campground, actually. And I was looking to book for a stay. And I called, and the person in the media was like, "Hello," and then proceeded to be very rude and very condescending to me, a potential customer. So I guess the question is, do you think I booked? And the answer is, of course not. I did not book. I did not book at that place because of customer service. So remember that human resources management is really important, as well as other factors like the logistics, the operations, the outbound logistics, the marketing and sales, the technology, and also procurement, the procurement process. So you can look at Krispy Kreme, you can look at Dunkin', you can look at Voodoo Donuts, Tim Horton, and other places, and you can see that that it's quite complex to get your morning donut. It's not just walk into a shop and get a donut. By the way, if you live in the United States and you're in New Jersey, one of my favorite places in the entire world, it's in the middle of central Jersey in Monmouth County. It's in Colts Neck, New Jersey, actually, and it is called Delicious Orchards. It's a apple orchard. Delicious Orchards. And they have the best apple cider donuts in the world. So if you go to New Jersey, this is what it looks like. But if you go to New Jersey, you can get these apple cider donuts that they're showing right here, or you could actually mail yourself some. But they are well worth it. Certainly they would be part of that process that we just talked about as well. So let us move on. And we are almost done with internal structure. But remember, the reason I'm showing you all this and we're going through this is because this is all part of the things that you need to analyze when you're talking about strategy. So remember, you can't just look on the outside and look at what the firm is doing on the outside, but you got to look on the inside as well. And paying attention to things like inbound logistics, operations, outbound logistics, marketing and sales and service is key. So looking at that whole value chain and then finding ways in that value chain to gain efficiencies to give you a competitive advantage, which will then give you a competitive advantage overall over your competitors. That's what you're looking for. You're constantly looking to I'm pointing at the screen, but you can't see it, so I'll use my mouse. You're constantly looking to have an advantage using these things over your competitors. So just something to keep in mind is that when we're talking about these internal factors, these internal processes, these logistics, these operations, marketing, sales, these service, and then your human resource capabilities, keep in mind that you want a competitive advantage in each of those areas, and that's going to help you succeed. So remember that the value chain is always looking for a way that you can add value to an organization, and it's certainly looking at the production of a good or service. Remember that we talked primarily by looking at donuts, by looking at these other things. We talked primarily about goods. But certainly services are there as well. If you think about Starlink, which is going to be that internet provider for the world, satellite internet, that would be a service. It's very expensive to get up, but once it is, it's going to provide an excellent service to people. So before I close this in prayer, I just want to show a picture of Delicious Orchards one more time. So again, if you're ever in New Jersey, I recommend going and getting their donuts. I was hoping it would the slider would go to the donuts, but it's not. Oh, we can force it. Here we go. So I just wanted to end by looking at the donuts. All right. We will be going into Module 5 next, where we'll be talking about strategic issues and analysis, and we'll be synthesizing some of those thoughts. As we do with everything, let us take a moment to pray, and then you'll have some activities to do, and then we can go into a SWOT analysis for Module 5. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for the attention of the class. Lord, we love you, and we're just so thankful for you. As we continue to study strategic management, we continue to learn this material, pray that you'll help us to use it in powerful ways for you, Lord, and that we will be able to do kingdom work with the strategy that we learn, and we'll be able to apply it to our workplace, to our personal life, and certainly to our spiritual life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and I will see you back here next time, where we will be doing a SWOT analysis and going into quite a bit of detail about that. Thank you so much.